You can't handle the truth.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
You're gonna need a bigger potion.
Do I feel lucky?
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
That's it, man. Game over, man. Game over.
Welcome back to another digitally remastered audio quality episode of Through the Lens, courtesy of Superfan, and I guess we can call him producer Corey now. This is Darren and
Tracy.
Yeah, Corey's not here because we send him the volume, but we want to give him a shout out because the last two episodes have sounded way better.
Yes, I would agree.
You can be more effusive about it, Tracy. We're big time now. We've got someone helping us with sound.
Yeah, we got a producer.
Yeah, I guess gave him that title without permission, but hey, why not? Producer Corey, you're famous now. So what are we reviewing today, Tracy?
Killers of the Flower Moon.
I have a feeling, not quite the level of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, but I have a feeling you're going to throttle me by the end of this review.
I think I will.
I'm going to tone it down. Okay, let's start with the basics because some people might not want to listen to our rage repartee here. So length, ratings, and credit scene, yes or no?
The length is 3 hours and 26 minutes.
Do not drink a big gulp, but I managed not to go to the bathroom one time, which is a minor victory for me. What's it rated?
Rated R.
Violence?
Violence, no sex.
No, not too much cursing, actually.
Yeah, not too much cursing. It's just violence.
And honestly, if you're 12, you're going to probably not want to be here.
Yeah.
And then is there an end credits scene teasing Killers of the Flower Moon 2 Electric Boogaloo?
No.
No, so you can leave after credits, and you are going to want to because it's long.
To me, I was telling Darren that the credits really complete a movie for me. I'm one of those nerds that stays and watches them, but...
And I'm one of those 12-year-old mentality boys who, when I'm doing that with you during a movie, I look for all the funny names. So we got something in common. We both like credits for different reasons.
Whatever.
Like if someone's last name is Butts, I point that out to you.
Yes, yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. So, okay, I'm going to put some rules on this. I want to know who's in this movie, but let's go spoiler-free on some of the random famous cameos, because I kind of got a kick out of it. I don't want to spoil any of that.
I would agree. Okay.
So the stars.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
And?
Robert De Niro.
That's probably all they need to know, right?
Jesse Plemons.
Jesse Plemons is interesting. He's a pretty good actor, but he's not really famous, but he's in a lot of stuff.
He's in a lot of stuff. He was nominated for an Oscar last year with his wife.
Oh, yeah, his wife is so...
Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah, I did not see that one coming.
Yeah.
But when Marcia told me that, my mind was blown a little bit.
Yeah.
By the way, Tracy, although we might not like each other after this episode, you need to step up your A game because Marcia will never take your spot, but Parker might. If you listen to the Paw Patrol review.
Paw Patrol was awesome.
Her insight was, you know, dead on. And so, yeah,
well,
you got to watch
that. Well, she was the target audience.
Absolutely was the target audience. So, yeah, Jesse Plemons, I just want to point out, there's an episode of a show called Black Mirror on Netflix. Have you ever seen it?
No, but I've heard about it.
It's a sci-fi anthology show, very dystopian. And he is one of the best episodes ever where he plays like a Captain Kirk kind of like guy.
Oh, wow.
So you need to see it. Do you have Netflix?
No.
Okay, well, then you don't need to see it.
But I will soon.
When you get it, look it up. I'll tell you. I think it's like the Callisto or something. I'll tell you the episode. But if you like Jesse Plemons, I know you love Star Trek.
Yeah.
Watch that episode. Okay, we've gone far afield. So this movie is long. The director is kind of important and also... famous.
Martin Scorsese
kind of got my ire because he got notoriety a couple of years ago because he said like superhero movies suck and they're not good.
Yeah.
So he's already on my list.
Well, but he's a great director.
People who aren't cinephiles, he's one of the famous directors like Spielberg. What are his big things that people might know if they're not movie people?
Goodfellas, Taxi Driver, The Age of Innocence,
I think Goodfellas is probably the main one that people might know.
Goodfellas.
I'm going to get called out. Marcia's going to correct me for not calling the big ones, but...
I think those are the big ones. I mean, he's...
Did he do the one with DiCaprio or did he do The Departed?
Yes.
Don't at me if I'm wrong because I just came up with that at the top of my head, but that's probably the more recent movie that he did.
Yeah, The Departed. I'm pretty sure he did Gangs of New York.
Gangs of New York is another more recent one that he did. So he's big time.
The Irishman...
He's not like Steven Spielberg where he makes crowd-pleasing movies, but he's like one of those auteurs. He's
Wolf
like,
of Wall Street, Hugo. Did you see Hugo?
You know, I did see Hugo. I didn't know he did that. Wolf of Wall Street I did see. But people know his work, I think. But he's not like crowd-pleaser, Spielberg type guy. He's like a art for art's sake type guy.
Yes.
I mean, the movies he makes are probably a little bit more mass producing. He's not like an art house guy, but he's definitely an auteur.
Yes, he has Shutter Island, which was awesome.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
So, okay, I want you to tell me two things because I'm going to give you credit since you told me earlier. What is this kind of about? And it's not a comic book adaptation, but where is this coming from? Did he come up with this on his own? Tracy, flex your knowledge.
No, he did not come up with this on his own. This is based off of a New York Times bestseller. This is a true story. It is about some murders that took place in Oklahoma of the Osage Indians. What happened in Oklahoma was the Indians had the land, and then they struck oil, and they were the richest group of the richest group of people, like per capita.
It probably should be noted that they were like made to go there. They didn't want to be there. That was after they got kicked out of wherever they were supposed to be.
Yeah.
So they got kind of like unlucky because USA was not nice to them, but then the place they happened to get stuck at had oil, so they got, I guess they're lucky in that regard, but.
Right, and so then.
By the way, this is a horrible question. Do we use Indians or Native Americans now? I don't know.
How about the Osage people?
Let's go with that. Okay. I just don't know, I don't want to offend anybody.
Right. So they struck oil, they were rich, and guess who got upset with them and wanted to make sure that they didn't keep all the money that they were getting from the oil? The white man.
I feel like it's less about being upset with them and more about just like, I want
greed.
The money. Yeah, it's more greed.
It's more greed.
I would say. So that's a pretty good synopsis of the plot. Okay. 3.5 hours. Martin Scorsese. Oh, what?
Well, let me just say, too, that before the movie started, there was a message from Martin Scorsese, and usually it's from the lead actor, but it was from Martin Scorsese that, you know, he's been researching this for a really long time, and he had wanted to develop this story, and by all accounts, I mean, I think, you know, the man did his research, and it was...
I have questions about that.
Provoking as well.
One of the, I guess the biggest compliment I can give this movie is that I want to go back and research what really happened.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if he was accurate. You know, they always change stuff, you know.
Well, I know they change stuff, but I'm sure that the main points, the deaths happened, what happened to the people that committed the deaths.
Like I just kind of want to see. Yeah. I like that in a historical movie where it interests me to find out how accurate it was. I don't have any blinders on that the movies are completely accurate, but I kind of want to know what happened. You know, I want to know if they sensationalize certain parts or if sometimes they combine characters or make stuff up.
I think that's probably more of what you're seeing because a lot of the cast was Native American. So I think that was good too. And we have a new person, a new actress, Lily Gladstone, who I believe is Native American as well.
She's the female lead, such as it were?
The female lead, yes.
Okay. Now we need to dig into this movie.
Yes, we do.
I think the question that I wanted to know coming into this, because full alert, I was not interested in this movie at all. When I heard 3.5 hours.
You were less interested.
Did not want to see it. So, length of time. What is your opinion on the length of time and the pacing of this movie? That's the elephant in the room when people are deciding to go spend money.
Right.
And I can go first, but I'm interested in what you think because you'll just get mad at me.
Oh my gosh.
You might not get mad at me. You might agree.
The movie is long. However, to adequately tell the story with all of the plot pieces, I think that the length is pretty close to what it needed to be. Could there have been things cut? Probably, but not a lot. My opinion.
Here's my opinion.
Uh-oh.
First, I will say this movie is incredibly long. The soundtrack was effective in that it made me grit my teeth and it was annoying because it was like so like... It kept the pace going. Like you didn't feel bored because it had that kind of ominous drum beat a lot of times.
And we can thank Robbie Robertson for that soundtrack. And he was the executive music producer. Rest in peace. There was a dedication to him in the credits. He's Native American as well. He was Native American.
So that helped push the movie forward, although it did make me kind of on edge because it like got me amped up. Not amped up like I'm going on a fighting scene, just like I literally was gritting my teeth and it's probably not good for me.
Yeah, and I even said to Darren, I said, the soundtrack is effective.
It is. So I will give that part credit. I do think this movie was very flabby, my personal opinion. I felt like Scorsese was in love with himself a little bit. He's got some loving shots of this for really long, and he just kind of keeps it going. And the pacing in the beginning was okay. It picked up in the middle. I thought it fumbled in the final third.
Okay, really so bad. This is what I think. I think when you are a person, a perfectionist like Martin Scorsese, and you have wanted to do something, a story or an idea or a film for, you know, 20 years, you want to make sure you get everything in there. And so that's why I think it was
like, I can't even tell you.
I don't think he wanted to cut anything because he wanted to tell the full.
Well, I think he's thinking he's such a super genius that he has to show us all these angles and long cuts.
I can't
tell you a scene or two that I would cut out. I can tell you that it just, every scene seemed a little long. I don't know. I'm not saying they should have cut out whole plot lines or whole characters. I just feel like it was just kind of long. I can't tell you why, which maybe makes it good, but it just, and then I will say the third act really fumbled for me. Once, and I don't want to give a spoiler away, but once, I don't know, can I say Jesse Plemons?
Yeah.
Once Jesse Plemons came on the scene, not his fault, it really slowed down, and then the culmination of the movie was really drawn out. You know what I'm talking about? I don't want to spoil anything.
I know what you're saying, and I myself was saying, well, when is Jesse Plemons going to get in? Yeah, I get that, but I think that because of the story, I'm trying not to give spoilers. Because of the story, when you get found out about doing something, everything slows down. Do you know what I mean?
That's the approach they took. I find that when you get found out about doing something, sometimes that finally stops all the BS and kicks things into overdrive, and that did not happen.
It did happen. It did happen. I think that at the beginning of the third act, it slowed down because it's like people don't know what to do, and it's expressing that indecision. I think it was done by design.
I mean, that could be. I think my other problem with this movie and its length is I couldn't tell if it's a historical piece, a period piece.
Or a detective story.
Or a love story.
Yeah,
or,
I know what you mean.
Or a character study, like of Leonardo DiCaprio. Because this story is about some stuff that happened.
Yeah.
But it is really all about this dude and all of his stuff that he does and thinks. Like, it gazed on Leonardo DiCaprio too much for a historical piece. So is it a character study? Is it a historical piece? I just didn't know if I knew what it was. You know what I'm saying? Like,
okay, let me just say that one of our loyal patrons at the Strand, I asked him what he thought of this when he saw it after, you know, opening weekend last weekend. And he said,
you can name check him because he might listen.
Steve Hardiman. He said this. He said, I like the movie, but they should have used lesser known actors because you were always made aware that it was Robert De Niro and Leonardo DiCaprio starring in the movie, which I think ties into your point.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, if you're telling a story about a horrible thing that happened to the Osage, this movie's not really about them. It's about Leonardo DiCaprio. And that just seems kind of a weird way to tell that story of what happened to people, but that could just be me.
No, but you said it, and you don't even know the guy, and yeah. He said it too, so I'm just giving credence to your point.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I do want to say some positive things that I enjoyed about the movie. Leonardo DiCaprio, while I felt like was just too much time was spent on him, 90% of the movie probably, he did give a very good performance.
Oh my gosh, he was awesome.
It's very, I almost like thinking about like Tony Soprano, not like he's a crime boss, but like you don't like him, but you do like him. Did you ever watch Sopranos?
Yes, you feel sorry for him.
You kind of want him to succeed, but you kind of don't. You kind of like him, you kind of don't. And that's a good character. That writing was good.
Yeah.
De Niro is also a little less likable, but he put on a pretty slimy, powerful performance.
I saw shades of Cape Fear in him.
I mean, at this point, he's kind of become a caricature of himself, like from Meet the Parents. Like, he is what he is, but he was a little bit more nuanced in this movie.
Yeah, they're both method actors, and you could tell. Just a plug to Lifelong Learning with Ohio Wesleyan. My class is Montgomery Clift, The Method and His Madness. And we're talking about Monty Clift, who was one of the very first method actors. And, you know, Leo and Bobby are both method actors, too.
So is Daniel Day-Lewis.
Right.
Or was, since I think he retired.
Didn't he retired.
Because it was killing him.
It was killing him.
So I don't want to go on a rabbit hole, but you just threw some name. I don't know. What movie is this dude in?
Montgomery Clift?
Yeah, who's that?
A Place in the Sun.
I've heard of
Judgment
that.
Judgment at Nuremberg.
Okay.
From Here to Eternity.
Oh, okay. These are like classic old-time movies.
Yes.
So people can go watch that and still see who this dude is.
Yes. I
still
know it. Okay. He was the rival of Montgomery Clift. He did three movies with Elizabeth Taylor, but Marlon Brando... Oh, he was the rival of Marlon Brando, but Marlon Brando is the one that gets all the credit when Monty Clift did it first.
Don't give out all of your class in one podcast, but you did flex. You flexed a little bit. Now people want to take your class.
Yeah.
Okay, so I did think their performances were good. A lot of didn't feel like they were chewing scenery so much, which is something that De Niro really does sometimes, like he kind of overdoes it. He was not that way this movie.
He wasn't that way.
You know he can be.
Yeah. I thought all three... DiCaprio, De Niro, and Lily Gladstone, the wife. I thought she was good too.
I don't want to criticize her acting, but that's another one of my critiques of the movie. I don't know what her deal was. Like, she was very affectless, which I think was written that way. But like, I just didn't really like how they treated her character. Because it's like, is she stupid?
Well, I think, you know, anyone that could be toe-to-toe with those guys that's in it for most of the movie, I mean, that's a feat all of its own. But
you see what I'm saying? Like, I couldn't tell, like, is this person just a complete...
Maybe that's how she was in the book. I mean, that's why we have to read the book.
I mean, you're going to watch this movie and be like, really? Is this where you're not figuring things out? So I don't know. I don't think it put her in a very particularly... good light as a character, but maybe that's what it was in real life. That's why I want to go do some research. But it seemed almost, even in the end,
yeah,
like I would have been okay with it if like at the end things changed, but I was like, this is just getting ridiculous. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Maybe that's real. So that's what I want to learn. Because if it's real, I apologize. But if it's not real, it's like, come on. I mean, I'd be pissed off if I was related to her. You tell me something else positive about this movie. I've praised the acting. I didn't like the pacing so much. Because I have one more bad thing I want to say, but I don't want to boil it down. Because I did actually enjoy the movie. Like, I did not hate this, like, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And I didn't look at my watch. And I think a lot of that was because of the music, and I was just kind of wanting to hear what would happen next. But what's one thing else that you liked about the movie?
I thought, like other movies, even though there were cool cameos, there were also other cool people that you have seen before by face that were in it that really... I'll use Tombstone as an example.
I'll be your Huckleberry?
Well, Val Kilmer, of course. But all the... not the leads, but all the other cowboys and stuff, you know them, and they were good, and they played their parts. And I think in this movie, when you look through the credit list and you see these people that were in it, you're like, oh yeah, I know him, I know him, I remember him. I thought those actors were good too.
I actually want to not necessarily disagree, but change what you said.
Okay.
I did enjoy the stunt casting. You could tell that Scorsese went through his Rolodex and got a bunch of people who probably shouldn't have been in this movie for small roles they had.
Yeah.
And that was cool.
Yeah.
There were the people that you kind of recognize, but you don't know.
Yeah.
I actually enjoyed the complete people you've never seen before, like just the random townspeople. They were actually really good.
Yeah.
Like they played like normal people very well, but they made it interesting. So I think the random people actually were more interesting to me than the, I think I know that guy from movies people. Mm-hmm. That's my take on it. I really like some of the random people they interacted with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now I want to talk about one more thing that really kind of annoyed me, disappointed me about the movie, not annoyed.
Okay, before that, you just made me think of something.
Oh, okay, go for it.
Okay, so...
Because we don't hate each other yet.
Not yet. Okay, Robert De Niro was in Amsterdam, and I think his role in Amsterdam was almost directly opposite, like his...
I haven't seen Amsterdam.
You didn't... Didn't we review it?
Which one's Amsterdam?
Amsterdam. John David Washington, Christian Bale, Remember the Eye.
Oh, that? Oh, I hated that movie.
But...
Yeah, that was creepy.
Yeah, De Niro...
Was he in that?
What was yes, he was the guy
that
they were searching for.
Okay.
Yeah.
I forgot we saw that movie.
Yeah.
Now you reminded me.
So I think you just made, I don't know, something you said made me think of that, so...
I don't know how many people saw Amsterdam, so now you've just increased...
I liked Amsterdam.
You increased rentals of that movie a lot. Okay. You know how in these true... Maybe it's interesting, but it just didn't land for me. You know in all these like based on true story movies,
yeah,
they will tell you kind of what happened to everybody, all the characters. Like sometimes they'll put up a picture of them and they'll say...
You didn't like that.
They'll say, this person happened here, or they'll explain this is what happened, or they'll even just have words.
Yes.
This took a very unique and novel approach to it, which I hated. Credit for trying, but it was just like, what the heck am I watching? You know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about. And at first, I'm like, what? But then, at the end of it, I was like, all verklempt.
Okay, well, you got verklempt. So again, you might watch that part. I actually would be curious to hear what people think, if they liked it. Because it definitely was different, kind of innovative, kind of random.
Yeah, I've never seen it done that way before.
But I was like, what? It didn't feel right with what the rest of the movie was for me. That kind of felt like added on, so I just didn't like it. But maybe people do, and I will respect you if you do, but I was just like, what the heck?
Yeah. At first, I was like, no, they're not going to do this. And then they did it, and then I was like, huh. And then the end of it, I was like, it all came together for me.
Cool. So yeah, I think this is just where we agree to disagree, but I can see how people would like it. It is interesting. I'd be interested to see if it gets picked up by other things. Everything good that someone innovates with will get stolen.
Yeah.
And it wasn't completely out of character for the time of the historical piece, but I was just kind of like, what is this? So these are all sort of my artistic quibbles with it, but I didn't have anything that said, this movie is annoying and I hate it, which is more than I expected.
Yeah.
So... Who's going to like this movie, Tracy?
I think history buffs will like this movie. I think this movie is geared towards older folks. I think that anyone that, you know, is a cinephile that loves Martin Scorsese and Leonardo DiCaprio, I think they'll really enjoy this film because what they'll do is they'll compare it to all the other ones and all the performances.
That's fair.
That's what I think. I don't think it's a, you know, I don't think younger kids will like it, even if they're 17. I don't think so.
No, I think unless you're one of the few younger people who just really loves history, like I bet Peyton would really like this movie.
Yeah, Peyton would love this movie.
He's younger,
yeah,
but he would like it because he likes that kind of thing. But, and if you like acting performances, those two performances were pretty good. It's not really an action movie, but there's a lot of dead people in it.
Yeah, and there's a couple gruesome.
Yeah. Yeah,
scenes.
There's some probably gross stuff. So I think if you like it, if you like that kind of stuff, you will like it. I agree, and I think it does skew older because it's just a little bit more mature of a movie. There's no car chases or running down the bad guys. And in fact, at one point, someone's just like, hey, I'm here to get you. And that was the whole scene. So I think that's right. I went to this movie basically telling Tracy I needed lots of candy and caffeine because I was nervous, and I actually liked it and stayed awake, so that's a good compliment. What's your score, Tracy?
Yeah, I am going to give this movie a 10.
What?
I'm going to give it a 10. You know why? Because any based on a true story movie that makes me want to go out and buy the book and find out about it, that's big, because not all historical movies make me do that. And then, you know, the performances of the three leads and all of the extra cameos and the people that you know by face, it's like everyone was in their perfect little spot. It's like a Where's Waldo, like find the bartender, find the cowboy, find the whatever. So
10?
Yeah, I'm gonna give it a 10. I know it's long, but I guarantee this movie is gonna stay with you for a while, because I was pissed watching some of it. Can I say that? Well, I just did.
I mean, this is not on radio, so you're fine.
Yeah.
It's on podcast. You can curse if you want. We just don't, because we want to expand our listeners to all members of the family.
Yeah. I mean, I even said to Darren during the movie, I go, I'm pissed right now. So it brought up all the emotions. And again, I want to go right out. I'm going to get the book right away. Like I did with Oppenheimer.
Darren's pros. Scorsese and DiCaprio put on pretty good acting performances. It did make me want to learn about the history.
Scorsese's the director.
Yeah, but I mean, oh, I'm sorry, De Niro. De Niro, thank you for correcting me. De Niro and DiCaprio put on good acting performances. I felt that DiCaprio's character in particular was very gray and nuanced, which was interesting. I guess my cons are the pacing was a little long. I thought he fumbled the third act, and I didn't really buy the relationship between the two main characters, and I think that is really necessary to drive.
Really?
I didn't feel like they really needed to get together. I didn't really feel like they need to stay together, and I didn't feel like...
I bought it.
There wasn't a lot of chemistry for me there. There was like a 10-minute scene where I got a lot of chemistry, but after that it felt like, why are you falling for this?
It wasn't like external. It was all internal.
I mean, that could be. I mean,
it was deeper than that. Yeah.
This is gonna sound horrible, but I just watched True Lies. I know, a horrible example, but like Schwarzenegger and Jamie Lee Curtis actually had a pretty good chemistry in that movie.
Oh my goodness.
Not like, I mean, you felt like they liked each other. I just didn't really feel like, anyway. So those are my downsides, but I was entertained, and I also don't know if I really liked the portrayal of the Osage Nation. I felt like they came off kind of like rubes almost. Like they were saying stuff like, hey, we're going to do something, and then they just never did.
Well, that's when they got the money and they sent the guy to D.C. and all that.
Those dudes came off pretty cool. I kind of like those guys.
Yeah.
But like the women are just like getting totally taken advantage of. It's kind of obvious, right? So maybe that's what happened. They didn't put a lot of depth into those characters. They just kind of were more like plot devices to me. And that's just how I felt. I wish they gave them a little bit more credence. The only one of the sisters had a lot of character.
Yeah.
So anyway, the other ones were just kind of
about.
The other ones are just kind of set pieces, which is okay. But
yeah.
So I because it exceeded my expectations, and I know that people will kill me if I give this a bad review, I'm gonna give it a 7.
7?
Yeah, that's really good for me. I'm gonna get added by people saying you suck. This is the best movie ever.
I think you're giving it a 7 because Scorsese said stuff about Marvel movies.
He did say
that. That's why, because you brought it up.
And no monkeys.
You can't even be objective, because that's the first thing you said.
Well, here, I'm gonna be honest. This is not a Darren movie.
It isn't.
If Scorsese knew me, and we had a conversation, and we were friends, he would be like, I did not make this movie for you, Darren. I will say I'd be interested in what my wife thinks of it, Marcia. I think she probably would join with me.
She would love it. She would love it.
But I think she would agree on some of my critiques, because she's also a cinephile, so she probably would agree with some of the pacing stuff in the third act. I think. I'm not sure. Marcia, now you got to see and let me know.
I think Marcia would agree with more with what I say than what you say in this movie.
Yes, I do. I think she would probably agree with me on the third act, just because I know her. But now I want to know. Now everyone wants to know. They don't care what we think. They want to know what Marcia thinks. And I know Parker would not like this movie. She's 4, in case you haven't listened.
I know Parker would not like this movie.
In case you haven't listened and you don't know what I'm talking about, Parker is 4, and we can agree on that. 7 is not a bad score. This is not my kind of movie. It doesn't get any of the bonus points for special effects blowing up. I don't really love DiCaprio as an actor. He's good, but he just doesn't. I'm more of like a Tom Cruise guy, even though he's weird. I like.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, and I also think that De Niro kind of does his thing and does his thing.
Yeah, he was good.
He was good. And I like the performances, but I think your frequent movie viewer was right. You're watching DiCaprio and De Niro. It's hard. They're not stepping into the role, so to speak. They're not hiding behind. I mean, it's them doing a good role.
It's
impossible for them to fall all the way into a role. They're such big stars.
I think that's partially true, but it was a different... I saw different shades of prior performances from De Niro in this character and in Leo's character. I did see a couple prior performances in this, and I saw a sliver of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Well, maybe that's subconsciously why I don't want to.
Yeah, that's probably
why. You got a minus star for that.
Yeah.
Do I see a hint of a Matt Damon smile with Leonardo DiCaprio?
No. I think he's really talented.
He is talented.
He's one of our best actors out there.
They kind of did tone down how good he looked in this movie. They gave him a little bit of polish in his face.
Oh my gosh.
So I got to give him credit for not just playing off how good he looked. He looked like a normal person.
He had
person.
His teeth filed down, you could tell. And and his hair was
kind of greasy. And his face had like kind of jowls after a while. So I'll give him credit for that. So when can they see this movie, Tracy?
Okay, so Killers of the Flower Moon will be at the Strand this weekend, starting on 10/27, Friday 5 and 9:30, Saturday 12:30, 5 and 9:30, and then 12 and 4:30 on Sunday, and then next Thursday 4 and 8:30 p.m.
Is that the end, or is there maybe another week?
It depends how it does.
So you might want to see it this weekend or next Thursday if you guarantee you want to see it.
Next Thursday will be the last day. Unless it really does well, we'll keep it another week.
Speaking of another week, what is coming next to the Strand after this movie?
Well, this weekend we also have Five Nights at Freddy's.
Based on a video game.
Based on a horror video game. Yes, on the horror video game. And then... next week.
By the way, do you know how ridiculous I sounded? Marshall was like, "What is this Five Nights at Freddy's?" And I was like, "Well, there's this video game where it's like a Chuck E. Cheese." And she's like, "What?" So anyway.
I don't know what we're getting after that. We have Taylor Swift until November the 5th. And so the first weekend of November, it will be Five Nights at Freddy's and Taylor Swift plus one more. It could be Flower Moon. It could be anything. It could be Priscilla. It could be The Nightmare Before Christmas, which is being released from Disney out of the vault.
Marsha loves that movie. By the way, we did not review Taylor Swift, thank goodness for my sanity. But I have to tell you that my brother, Jeff, who has done reviews with us, watched it. He went with his daughter and all of her friends.
Oh, my goodness.
And they loved it.
Yeah.
They lost their minds. Apparently, they were dancing in
the
theater.
That's what you're supposed to do.
So I told him, "Dude, why did you do that? I would never do that." He's like, "No, you would love it. You need to take Parker." To which I said, Parker got scared during Paw Patrol, so she's too young. But apparently, if you have a daughter who likes Taylor Swift, you need to go to this movie.
Yeah.
Like now. Are people coming here and dancing?
No, they're not. And they need to.
They're not.
We encourage it. They just sit there. They need to get up.
So they are coming, but
around.
They don't realize they can like boogie down.
Yeah, they can do whatever.
Tracy says, come and have fun.
Yeah, come
do
and have
do your thing.
Fun.
Just don't throw spoons like we did during the room. All right, Tracy.
Shout out to Greg.
Hopefully he's listening. Send this episode to him. You got a shout out 33 minutes into it. You're like, why listen to that whole thing to get my shout out? Greg Sestero, we love you. Okay, thank you for coming back, Tracy. Your job is safe. Parker will not steal it just yet.
Okay.
And I think we still end up as friends. By the way, I gave this 6 stars more than Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
You know what? You're just a dummy.
See y'all next week.